Spend your afternoons with Rush Limbaugh. Weekdays at noon on 1330 WFIN.
Here's your Storm Track 11 forecast. For today, lots of sunshine, but cool with highs in the mid-50s. Tonight, fair and chilly with frosty temps near 30 by daybreak. Tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sun, upper 50s to near 60. We'll be near 60 on Friday with a chance of showers by evening. We'll have rain around the area on Saturday with highs in the upper 50s. But then temps fall on Sunday with a couple showers, and highs by Monday will only be in the upper 40s. For WFIN, this is News 11 meteorologist Mike Stone.
You know, we're warming up. Does it feel warmer out there? It's a whole 34 degrees. Right now it was 33 before, so we're at least moving in the right direction. 7.5 minutes after 7 o'clock now as Good Mornings continues.
Prices are up.
The cold, safe. Member FDIC.
Very windy and very cold.
Freezing rain.
50-mile-an-hour winds.
Low visibility.
When Mother Nature serves up her worst, we're at our best. 1330 WFIN. Stay informed and up to date with the latest Storm Track 11 forecast. Plus, get all the school delays and closings courtesy of Gene Stevens Honda, Pennington Gas, and the McDonald's restaurants of Findlay. When you need to know,
big icing event.
You need the station that won't freeze up on you. Your weather authority, 1330 WFIN.
I do want to take this opportunity to say, live from New York, it's Saturday night.
She's got a great sense of humor and a willingness to throw herself into almost any situation on behalf of this campaign.
She's an extraordinary woman, but that doesn't mean that she and John McCain should lead our country.
John and I will actually lower your income taxes.
Now, after several weeks of campaigning and hearing from Palin, 52% of likely voters say they are now less confident of McCain's judgment.
It is not negative campaigning when you call someone out on their record and on their plans and on their association.
She's obviously an accomplished political figure in her own right, having been elected governor of her state. Aren't many people who've done that. You can celebrate that and be, you know, very impressed by that.
She had grace and good humor and a smile on her face.
Now that we have had a chance to watch her for some 7 weeks, I don't believe she's ready to be president of the United States, which is the job of the vice president.
That certainly is his prerogative to express that also.
She was a virtual unknown until just 2 months ago. Alaska Governor Sarah Palin has quickly become the most talked about player of the 2008 presidential election. Whether you love her or hate her, voters' fascination with Palin has in some respects overshadowed all else. While her family, her political experience, her background, her personality, her appearance, along with her place in history as the first female GOP vice presidential candidate, have all played a role in capturing our attention, in what ways has it helped or hindered the McCain ticket and her own political future, for that matter? As we prepare to welcome Sarah Palin for a morning rally today at the University of Findlay's Kaler Center, author and political commentator Dr. Diana Sheets is with us to talk about Sarah Palin's lasting impact. And Dr. Sheets, first of all, thanks very much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Oh, it's a pleasure to talk with you, Chris.
First of all, you say that whether or not McCain-Palin is the winning ticket 2 weeks from now, she has really, her influence, the Palin effect, is going to be felt in American politics for quite some time.
That's right, Chris. I think it's important to realize that if you want to look at which party is more likely to pick a woman to lead the country, in my opinion, it's going to be the Republican Party. And I think that Sarah Palin has many of the same characteristics and outlooks that Margaret Thatcher did, who served as Prime Minister in Britain from 1979 to 1990, and who, I might add, was in power for longer than any governing ruler in Britain since Lord Salisbury, who was almost a century ago. Sarah Palin has tremendous strength, and her background as a governor positioned her well to serve as a future executive and that is president of the U.S.
But if that's true, why is it that her selection as vice president has not really translated into a big bump for McCain? Indeed, there was an ABC News poll, I think, just last week, saying that she has, in some respects, been a drawback for some who are concerned about her lack of experience on the national stage, and by extension, wondering if John McCain really made the right choice there.
Right. Well, she's been only serving as governor in Alaska for 2 years. That's under ordinary circumstances, that would be considered not a very long term in government. But then again, Barack Obama has only been serving in the Senate for 2 years. I think it's important to realize that she's on the upswing in terms of a learning curve. We would probably prefer to have someone running for vice president with many more years of experience. But look at Joe Biden. I mean, he has served for 35 years in the Senate, and yet his comment that he made yesterday about if Obama is elected president, we can expect to have some major international test that will threaten America's safety. You have to really question the judgment of someone who is the Democrats' vice presidential candidate to say things like that. If Sarah Palin had made those comments, you can just imagine what the response would be, or for that matter, if McCain had.
Is that you mentioned certainly if Sarah Palin had made those comments, no question there would have been quite an uproar. Is that a difference in experience, or is that a difference in the gender of the candidates, or what?
Well, I think the problem is that Joe Biden has had a history of saying things that are inappropriate.
That certainly is the case. He's had a history of missteps.
Right. And Mark Halperin, in writing for Time magazine, talked about his persistent tendency to say silly, offensive, and off-putting things. And the New York Times talked about Biden having weak filters that make him capable of blunting out pretty much anything. And the question is, we're talking about judgment here. Who has worse judgment? I think that we need to put things in perspective. It would be nice, ideally, for McCain's running mate to have more experience than Sarah Palin has. But who has shown bad judgment? Biden, with all that years of experience, actually has said much more inappropriate things.
Since the very beginning, since she was named as McCain's running mate, Sarah Palin has been the attack dog of the ticket. I mean, she pretty much said that right from her acceptance speech, her comment between the difference between a soccer mom and a pit bull. She has been the attack dog of the ticket. Some have said she's been a polarizing figure in that respect, that has turned some moderates and independents away from the McCain-Palin ticket. How has that influenced the campaign? Has it helped or it hindered? And how does that affect her long-term political future?
Oh, I think it serves Sarah Palin very well in the party. Look, one of the perceptions that people still have today is that women can't be aggressive and can't take very strong a stance. And I think the interesting thing about Sarah Palin is she has been able to be highly critical of what an Obama administration will do, but she's done it actually with tremendous grace. And so I think that certainly nobody likes to have an attack campaign on either side, but this has never been a more bitterly contested run. And I think she's shown her capabilities enormously.
Does she have the kind of staying power that will keep her on the national stage? I mean, you look back at some of the vice presidential candidates over the past few campaigns, and they're there for a while, kind of a flash in the pan, and then they go away and you don't really hear from them again. Does she have the kind of staying power that will keep her on the national stage?
I don't know. You get such an enormous flurry of attention around a presidential election, and then everything changes course. And, of course, if the Obama administration is in power for two terms, it's hard to know. But the thing that makes it possible that she may return in a very significant way, even if the McCain-Palin administration doesn't win, is she's very young, She represents the core values of the Republican Party, and she really ideally embodies what they have been looking for quite a long time. Now, will it be Sarah Palin if McCain and Palin don't win in 4 years or in 8 years? It's hard to say, but I think she has excellent political instincts. She's young. I think she's very popular in Alaska, and I have to hope that that both McCain and Palin are still very much in the race and a very strong possibility in this election.
There are a lot of so-called experts who have kind of written the McCain-Palin ticket off, saying that this one is, for all intents and purposes, over, according to all of the polls. But we, as we all know, polls have been wrong before, and certainly McCain has been down before, and you can never count him out. He has come back from deficits before to surprise people. So we certainly don't want to write everything off at this point. You make a really good case for a lot that Sarah Palin brings to the table for the McCain-Palin ticket. Where does she have any drawbacks, in your opinion? Where are her weak points? Where does she hurt the campaign?
Well, I think we've talked about some of it. She doesn't have the experience that we might have liked. She's gone from serving as mayor of a relatively small town to being governor, and governor only for 2 years. And of course, she's been governor in Alaska, and Alaska faces different challenges than many of the other states. Those are the limited aspects, but I think she's very comfortable in putting herself in front of the public. She's tenacious. She's stubborn. She's strong-willed, and she has a vision of where she sees America going. And those are the strengths that I think that can really, really guide a president in serving their nation.
You bring up the point that she is very comfortable in on the big stage, and she does not she is not intimidated at all with this kind of media attention and the things she's kind of been thrown into over the past several weeks. Would it be fair to say that that may be her best quality? I mean, for her personally and her political future.
Well, look, these days you don't become president without having some charisma in front of an audience and in front of the television. Since so many people get their news from television, and she's a very attractive personal person, and she's at ease in front of the television. She has media experience and she has media savvy. And those traits are really critical in positioning a candidate to become president of the U.S.
Charisma is a great word, and she's got it in spades. Again, Dr. Diana Sheets with us this morning, author, political commentator. Alaska Governor Sarah Palin will be in town today. The rally begins at 9 o'clock, and Palin's comments expected to begin right around 10, and we will have live coverage. Again, Dr. Diana Sheets, thank you very much for being with us today. We certainly appreciate it.
It was a pleasure talking with you, Chris.
It is 7:21 now on 1330 WFIN. Let's get another check of sports. Once again, here is Chris Miller.
In 1330 W-Raysburg, and don't forget the Finley Implement John Deere Coach's Corner tonight at 6. We'll be joined by Finley Trojan football coach Mark Ritzler, Finley Oiler football coach John Walford, and Liberty Benton football coach Tim Nichols. And I'm Chris Miller, WFIN Sports.
It'll be an interesting trio. Thanks very much, Chris. It is 7:24. Check out the weather forecast and the farm meeting place on the way next.
Come visit style at the all-new...
Easy to use, easy to read. Covering Hancock, Seneca, and Wyandotte counties. It's the only book you need. For information, call 800-724-2602. That's 800-724-2602.
The Storm Track 11 forecast is a service of Haynes Publishing. And News 11 meteorologist Mike Stone says a sunny, cool day today. High of 55. Then tonight, clear skies for the most part. Another very cold night, 30, the overnight low. Mix of sun and clouds tomorrow, not quite as chilly. High of 59, near 60 on Friday. And then there's a chance of rain beginning late in the day on Friday and showers over the weekend. Look out, because the first part of next week, we're talking about temperatures, high temperatures in the 40s, from what they were saying. So just let you know now so that you're not shocked when it arrives. Very cold weather. Currently, it is 34 degrees in the Flag City at 1330 WFIN. Time for the Farm Meeting Place, a look at what is going on around the area agriculturally. And here is Farm Services Director Vaughn Wickerham. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
What's happening in the world of all things farm-related?
Well, I think a lot of farmers in the area may just decide they want to go see Sarah Palin this morning. She can't harvest beans in the morning, and
it's a little frosty this morning.
It is very chilly. Got very cool last night. But again, a beautiful morning on tap. You look out the window here, you can see the sun going to come up pretty soon, but blue skies. So some beautiful weather out there. The National Corn Growers Association has teamed up with BASF Corp, and of course that's one of the large agrochemical companies. They've joined forces now for the second year, and they're going to award five $1,000 scholarships to undergraduate, graduate students pursuing a degree in an ag-related field. And they're kind of committed to the education of young growers. Most of the agribusiness companies are. And a lot of times the agribusiness companies, they take a little bit different approach to things than some of the other companies. They realize that agriculture has gone from being the number one employer of people in this country. When the country was founded, we were basically an agrarian society where 9 out of 10 people were farmers, down to where only like 2% are directly involved in farming per se, about 20% in some related ag-type field. But they realize because of that, they need well-trained young people coming up through the educational system. So it's critical to the success of the industry and their particular businesses. But applicants for the National Corn Growers Academic Excellence in Ag Scholarship Program have to be entering at least their second undergraduate year, and they or a parent legal guardian need to be a National Corn Growers Association member. So they want, you know, people from farm-related families. Scholarship applications submitted as early as November 1st, but they have to be done before January 23rd. So the window for that is coming up. Complete rules are in the application packet online, www.ncga.com/scholarship.
All right.
And they got it on there and explain all about it. But there are going to be five $1,000 scholarships out there for people, young people in college that are from our corn-growing family.
It'd be nice to have.
They're going to be harvesting that corn soon.
Yeah.
Some already are.
Be nice to have one of those scholarship winners here.
That would be.
Very good. Thanks very much, Vaughn. Coming up next, the Morning Report. Bring you up to date on everything you need to know to start your day as Good Mornings continues. Scott Jennings will be along in just 60 seconds with that.
.32 bushels per acre this fall.